YPG's Desert Rats tested weapons of war so they'd work when soldiers' lives depended on them. Thousands of veterans walk the earth today thanks to their work. After decades of service, all that's left is testament. Desert Rat Testament is a monthly anthology that collects the stories and recollections of retired Yuma Proving Ground employees of decades-long service. Hello, I'm Mark Schauer. After 26 years in the Marine Corps, New York native Ron Bassolet retired to Yuma. He briefly worked for one of the local school districts before bringing his decades of experience in logistics to YPG's Combat Automotive Systems Division at the height of the surge in Iraq in 2006. When you retired from the Marine Corps, what made you choose Yuma to retire to?
I liked it. The people, you know, it was friendly. You could get anywhere like in 30 minutes, you know, especially coming from New York, you know, the traffic in New York. But I lived in San Antonio. See, I migrated out of New York in the early 70s. And we moved to San Antonio, Texas, and even there the traffic was monstrous. You know, I mean, something where you could take you 10 minutes would be like an hour, especially with traffic. If you went in traffic, so, and when I first arrived here, I remember I got here in June. It was really funny. I arrived in June, we were staying at the Motel 6, which is right across from Navy Federal Credit Union. With me and my wife, and I went to go get something from the car, and I whoa. Touched the handle, it's so hot. I was like, oh my God, you know, who did I piss off to get over here to Yuma, you know, to get away to this base? But you know, once I got acclimated to the weather here, and once I started knowing the people, I said, I like this place. You know, it's really, I could get used to this, you know, and no snow, no, you know, nothing. I mean, the weather's pretty much nice all year round, just about. So yeah, I was very happy to be here, you know, and I liked it. And I decided to make this my home, you know.
Now you worked logistics in the Marine Corps, but when you got the job as a civilian here, you were working combat automotive, right?
Yes, but it was logistics because, you know, when I first arrived, I was the account holder for, you know, property book stuff. So I had to take care of all that. And I did a lot of that, you know, in the Marine Corps. So sort of fell in with, you know, what I did. The difference is that, you know, in the Marine Corps, the amount of equipment that I had to be controlled was nothing compared to, you know, when I came out here to YPG. When I got to YPG, I want to say that I was over 2-point-something million of equipment that I had to, you know, was in charge. It was very difficult. It was kind of hard because it was spread out all over the base, and I had to really, you know, be accountable for all that, you know. So, and I just stuck mainly to purchasing. You know, I was a purchase guy for the division.
When you started in 2006 in the Combat Automotive Systems Division.
Yeah.
It was during the surge in Iraq.
Yeah.
The amount of vehicle testing was overwhelming, the MRAP and all that stuff.
Yes, it was.
What was your impression when you first came in?
Well, you know, again, being on this side, you know, and having to order stuff, I liked it. I liked that, the pace of what we were doing. And sometimes you get like a deadline. Hey, you have to finish purchasing this. You have to purchase this by the end of the year. You have to get all this stuff done. We had so much stuff, you know, that we needed for the field, for testing, you know, equipment, this, that, you know, where to be, things for that test officers needed. I love doing all that. I like the pressure because, you know, I feel good and I kind of like thrive, you know, to get things done better, you know, when I'm under pressure. Then, you know, like if you're just sitting here and you know, I'm not so you know, you're not too eager to do things when you're just sitting back not doing nothing, you know. It's kind of like boring.
The biggest automotive test in those early years was with the MRAPs, wasn't it?
Yes. And we had to get, you know, we had to get a lot of parts for that. Sometimes we had to get wheels. We had to get, you know, sometimes even the whole engine, you know. This depends, you know, what we had to get. I mean, like I said, millions of dollars I was responsible for when I first got here. It was like, wow, it's a lot of stuff. We had a lot of stuff all over the place, you know. But it was enjoyable. You know, like I said, it's a challenge, and, you know, you just take that challenge on. So,
you must have known guys in the Marine Corps that were still in that were depending on that equipment.
Yes. And that's another thing. You know, that's another thing. The fact that I was in the Marine Corps and I knew still a lot of people that were on the base, when people did testing here, you know, that needed, say, they were going to test how an individual would go into a, like a Humvee or something with a pack fully loaded. Well, they didn't have that gear. See, and in certain circumstances, they would have to buy that gear, okay? But because I knew people, I was able to get it from the base on a loan. So, and I did that several times for several test officers. And they really appreciated that, you know, that I was able to do that for them. And that's nice. That's, you know, so when you're, and logistics to me, you know, my I guess my version or my, you know, my, what I would say that it means to me or anybody is when you're able to do that, you know, when you're able to communicate with various people to get things done, or that's it. So you have to communicate and get, you know, and that's all logistics. You have to get, you know, you're able to communicate to get things accomplished and done, you know, at a certain time, a certain place. It's all about the beans and the bullets, you know, when it comes to the Marine Corps, anyway, you know. So, and here, it's not much difference, you know.
During the heaviest days of testing, during the surge and so on, It always struck me that the CASD workforce is very tight-knit.
Oh, it is. It is.
What was the day-to-day working with those folks like?
It was great. The barbecues, the camaraderie, you know, the communication, you know, it was always back and forth. The folks here are like a family. You know, when you think about, you spend 10 hours a day, you know, at a job site, okay, and you're home 4 or 5 hours in the evening, and you go to bed. Sometimes you don't even spend that much time with your wife that you would do at work. So if you cannot become a family and be part of something bigger than yourself, then, you know, I think you're wasting your time. I really say, and I say that because, to me, you know, I loved it. I loved it here. It hurt me when I retired. I did. I did not want to really retire, but, you know, at the same token, I was like, man, this, you know, I'm 65, you know, so I was like, yeah, I gotta go, man. Yeah, I gotta get out of here because I gotta have a little time at home with my family, you know. And
Yuma Proving Ground's an Army post.
Yes.
But there's a lot of Marine Corps veterans here. You must have encountered a few during your time.
And, you know, and to me, I don't look at it, you know, I never looked at it as, you know, Marine, Army, you know. I to this day, I still wear my Army shirt that I have, that, you know, that I got when I, with the logo, with the star. I still wear that, you know, when I go out sometimes. And, you know, I've had people ask me that. They said, you know, why, aren't you in the Marine Corps? I said, yes, I am. But, you know, but I'm also proud of being a part of the Army, you know. It's part of, you know, part of being a civilian worker, you know. But I was part of the Army, you know, the Army base. I said, so, yeah, you can be proud of two organizations. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. It's not like I'm being disloyal to my Marine Corps. I still wear my Marine hat, you know. But at the same token, says, you know, no, it's... I like the fact that, you know, you can see through all that, you know. That's just because that's trivial, you know, to me. You know, somebody saying something like that, you know, just like, you know, oh, you do this or you do that, and, yeah, whatever, you know. I do what I do, okay. You do what you do, I do what I do, okay. Let's keep it at that.
It's been more than 5 years since you retired.
Yes.
Do you still keep up with Yuma Proving Ground?
Oh, absolutely. I come to every Christmas party since I've retired. I've come to every Christmas party. Well, they invite me to every Christmas party.
Now, when you started here, like we said, it was the worst days of our experience in Iraq, the surge and so on. We had some folks that had been here an awfully long time. Like, remember Tony Beruznik?
Yes.
That started out here in 1969.
I talked to him so many times, Tony Beruznik. He was so funny. He was the funniest guy, I swear. I mean, and he was what, 80, I think 80 something, right? Or 80, when he left, he was like 80 something. And I asked him, you know, because he was from New York also, Tony Beruznik. I said, Tony, he says, why do you come to work? I don't want to be home with my wife. And I thought it was so funny. I said, but Tony, you know, look at you. You're up there in age, you know, don't you want to go fishing or sit somewhere, relax, you know, enjoy whatever life you have left. Nope. If they let me, I work till I die here. That's what you tell me. Tell me things like that. He come to my cube and we talk. We had a lot of talks.
I mean, you must be proud to see some of the junior test officers you work with in leadership positions these days.
Yes, I am. And again, there's one thing I'll tell you, Mark, that I have realized, you know, and that's not because I'm just old, you know, older. Or the fact that I spent many years in the Marine Corps, you know, because I was also, you know, leader and a troop handler and things like that. But, you know, everybody, irregardless of their position, has something to offer, you know, because obviously you cannot do things without the youngest, the juniors, you know, the most junior man in the outfit, you know, because he's doing something. If he's sweeping up the floor or taking out the trash, he's doing something. If he wasn't doing it, who's going to do it? The next guy up, right? So you have everybody is accomplishing a mission, you know, and so everybody's included in the one big mission, you know, to include that junior guy. So, yeah, I like seeing them all rise, you know, they were, you know, that they all became great.
What do you do these days to keep busy?
Grandkids. I take care of the grandkids, you know, and you know, some, and I have, you know, I have doctor's appointments and things like that. And you know, we try to do things around the house, you know, clean up the house a little bit here and there. But yeah, but mainly the grandkids. I stay busy with the grandkids. They trust me. They're young enough to keep me going. I mean, if I stop, I'll probably die. I don't know, you know, because I'm not, you know, I'm not in the greatest of health, but I'm not in the worst of health.
Hey, Ron, it's really good talking to you today.
Thank you. Thank you.
For as long as the United States has a military, Yuma Proving Ground will be vital to the national defense. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on The Testament.